Welcome to What the Paper Said, in which I, Patrick Crozier, skim through the Times from 100 years ago, read some of the articles and comment on the ones I find interesting. In this episode, the week ending the 21st of October 1923, Churchill continues to wriggle. But first, stuff that's piqued my interest this week. There have been riots in Berlin, there have been riots in Mannheim, Bavaria has banned public meetings. I can only imagine they've done that, lest someone uses the occasion to launch a coup. What could possibly go wrong? A fort in Warsaw has blown up. 250 people, presumably soldiers, are reported to have died. Irregulars imprisoned by the Irish Free State during the Irish Civil War have gone on hunger strike. The Turkish army has reoccupied Constantinople, the city having been under Allied occupation since the end of the First World War. Talking of Turkey, it has been announced that Enver Pasha, a leading light of the Young Turk movement, has lost his life fighting the Soviet communists in Central Asia, although it would appear that he died about a year ago. In Britain, as I've mentioned before, unemployment is still high. The government is looking into financing some public work schemes, such as new roads and railways. Ignoring the fact that this takes resources away from the free market where they are likely to be used efficiently, and into the control of the state where they probably won't be, it would appear that the schemes themselves are not ready, or not shovel-ready, as Barack Obama might have put it. I saw this in Saturday's In Brief section. A man was fined 5 shillings at Greenwich County Court yesterday for putting on his hat while Judge Sir Thomas Granger was sitting. And I saw this in Friday's In Brief section. Shop windows in the Strand have recently been damaged by scratching, apparently with a diamond or some other glass-cutting implement. I've mentioned before that I thought this kind of vandalism, or indeed any kind of vandalism, was a recent phenomenon. Clearly it isn't. The Times continues to publish extracts from what will become Volume 2 of Winston Churchill's The World Crisis. Last week he was discussing the plans for the Dardanelles campaign. This week the plans have gone into action, and in the face of minefields and forts, the initial naval attack has ended in failure. While Churchill wanted to have another go, the men on the spot were not so sure and wanted assistance from the army. Unsurprisingly, Churchill was unhappy. This is from Thursday, the 18th of October.
Henceforward, the defences of the Dardanelles were to be reinforced by an insurmountable mental barrier. A wall of crystal, utterly immovable, began to tower up in the Narrows, and against this wall of inhibition no weapon could be employed. The no principle had become established in men's minds, and nothing could ever eradicate it. Never again could I marshal the Admiralty War Group and the War Council in favour of resolute action. Never again could I move the First Sea Lord. This is a chap called Jackie Fisher, who's a bit of a legend. No had settled down forever on our councils, crushing with its deadening weight what I shall ever believe was the hope of the world.
This drew a robust response from a Rear Admiral Davidson. This is from Saturday the 20th. In justice to Admiral de Roebuck, the commander of naval operations, who comes under severe criticism by Mr. Churchill, I submit that the salient points which resulted in a change of plan by the Admiral on March the 23rd showed his wisdom. They were as follows. 1. The impracticability of clearing the minefields. 2. The loss of one-third of his available ships before reaching the main minefields. He then says something that sounds vaguely familiar. Mines and yet more mines were the obstacle to success, as well as limited ammunition. Anyway, that's all for this week. I aim to have something up next week, but I promise nothing.